Would you pray with me? Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are the one who strengthens us and redeems us. Amen. Some time ago, I shared with you the story of a man who, named John, who received a parrot as a gift. Now, the parrot had a bad attitude and an even worse vocabulary. Every word out of the bird's mouth was obnoxious and rude and laced with profanity. And John tried to change the bird's attitude. He consistently said polite things to the bird, playing soft music, and anything he could think of to clean up the bird's vocabulary. Finally, John was fed up. He yelled at the parrot, and the parrot yelled back, and John shook the parrot, and the parrot got angrier and even ruder. And so in desperation, John threw up his hands, grabbed the bird, put it in the freezer for a few minutes. The bird squawked and kicked and screamed. And then suddenly there was total quiet. Not a peep was heard for over a minute. Fearing that he'd hurt the parrot, John quickly opened the door to the freezer, and the parrot calmly stepped out onto John's outstretched arm and said, "I believe I may have offended you with my rude language and actions, and I am sincerely remorseful for my inappropriate transgressions, and I fully intend to do everything that I can to correct my rude and unforgivable behavior." John was stunned at this change in the bird's attitude. And he was about to ask the parrot what had made such a dramatic change when the bird continued, "May I ask what the turkey did?" Repentance. Saying we're sorry. I want to focus on those today. And I also want to focus on the idea that they're not the same. What is repentance? And what is not repentance? But I want to begin with the premise that repentance is a word that's fallen out of favor in modern society. One of my favorite TV shows, as most of you know, is NCIS. And Special Agent Jethro Gibbs. Has a bunch of rules that he follows. And he instills those rules on the rest of his team. And rule number 6 is, never say you're sorry. A sign of weakness. And of course, our president. President Trump said in January of 2016, when he was running for president, that he does not regret never asking God for forgiveness, partially because he says he doesn't have anything to apologize for. Now, I don't think our president and Gibbs are alone in their thinking. Many today don't like to say that they are sorry. They don't like to ask for forgiveness because, as Gibbs says, they see it as a sign of weakness. And we've become so divided that we're just so sure that our ideas are right, our actions are right, that we don't feel like we need to apologize for anything. Or we have difficulty thinking we might be wrong. The truth of our humanity is that all of us are wrong at times. And when our first inclination is to say that we're sorry, and that's good, that's enough, I'm sorry. But that's not what repentance is. Repentance is not a momentary, "I'm sorry." Repentance, rather, is about transformation. and changing of direction. Sorry does not imply that kind of transformation. And if you think about it, our reading from Isaiah speaks of a transformed world. And it's nothing like the world we live in. The wolf shall lay with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and fatling together, and the little child shall lead them on and on and on. That is God's vision through the prophet Isaiah of the world. And it's so different from ours. God's vision of the world is so different. And repentance is recognizing that. And doing our part to catch that vision in small ways and let it make a difference in our own lives in order that we might realize a piece of that vision. Now, I recognize that that vision of Isaiah talks about carnivores lying down with herbivores. That's not necessarily going to happen, but it's this whole idea that they will not hurt or destroy on all of my holy mountain, on all of my world. That's the vision. David Loos, in his blog, davidloos.net, writes about this. Repentance, in short, is realizing that God is pointing one way and that you've been traveling another way and reversing direction in order to be with God and to follow God's vision. And repentance is always a theme for Advent. We prepare to remember again that Jesus Christ has come through the power of the Holy Spirit and enters our lives each and every day to show us the way, to help us make that U-turn. However, we have to be able to see the vision before we can see the one who made the vision. And that requires repentance. Jesus, in many ways, was the vision of God for the world made visible to us. And we look at Jesus and we see that vision, that love, that care, that respect for all people. And then it helps us to catch that vision by seeing Him. We all would say that it is impossible to catch the vision of Isaiah, or to catch the vision of Jesus even, to make it a reality. We all would love to live in an Isaiah-like world. But we can only do our small part. But we can do our small part. We can be like the buttons in the button can. There comes those times when those buttons are just right for what we need. Where we can be just right for something. Each and every day of our lives. And so I'm going to encourage you to work at this. And again, I'm in debt to the Reverend David Loos for this last part of his sermon. In your bulletin, you have the note card. I want you to take it out. And in your pew in front of you, hopefully you have a pencil or something to write with. If you don't, hold up your hand and we will get a pencil to you. Okay, Veronica, anybody else need a pencil? Okay, now, you're going to have to write down three questions or statements. And so kind of write small. I'd like for you to get them all on the front one side. But if you can't, if you have to go to the back, that's okay. And I want you to write first on your note card. Put like a 1 by it. Sometime this week, daydream what God's vision would be for you. Sometime this week, daydream what God's vision would be for you. And then add to that, what do you think God wants you to be and do? What do you think God wants you to be and do? That's the first one. And then when you got that, you can stop writing for a second. Daydream may be the key word here. Because God invites us to dream something beyond what we can presently see. In some ways, that is exactly what the Isaiah passage chosen for this Sunday is. God's dream about a different world. Where there's no predator or prey, no fear or hatred. It's not a goal to be achieved, but a dream by which we set course. At least it won't be achieved in our own earthly lifetime. But it helps us to set course for our lives. You need to hear that again?
Yes.
Okay. Sometime this week, think about or daydream what God's vision would be for you. Sometime this week, daydream what God's vision would be for you. What do you think God wants you to be and do? If you don't get it right now, I'll help you out afterwards. Now, the second one, put a little 2. What is one element of your life you would like to repent of and change? What is one element of your life that you would like to repent of and change? One more time. What is one element of your life that you would like to repent of and change? And then stop writing. Is there an unhealthy relationship you want to repair or address? Can you imagine using your time differently and towards better ends? Is there some practice or habit you might take up that would produce a more abundant life for you or for those around you? What is one element of your life you would like to repent and change? Number 3. Identify one element of my communal life that needs repentance, and to think of how I can contribute to that. Let me say that again. Identify one element of your communal life that needs repentance, and how can you contribute to that? One more time. Identify one element of your communal life that needs repentance, and to think how you can contribute to that. And that's it. No more writing after that question. Can you spend time volunteering at a local charitable agency? Or make an additional donation to some charity? Can you get to know someone who is quite different from you? Ethnically, politically, generationally. And try to build a more robust sense of community in this way. Can you identify one communal issue and begin praying for it daily, open to how God might direct your time and actions to contribute to change? Those are some ways to think about that third question. Now, I want you to take these cards home. And I want you to put them someplace where you will see it every day. And I hope you will take some time to sit quietly over the next several weeks to answer these questions. Maybe even write down your response or your thinking. I think it's a way that we can really take this repentance thing seriously and make a difference, make that U-turn in our lives. It's a term. Repentance is something we need to reclaim. We need to use it if we are ever to catch a vision of God's kingdom. And I hope this will be a part of your Advent journey. Let us reflect on these questions as a reminder that our world is not what we want it to be. It's not what God wants it to be. But with the Holy Spirit, we have the power to make a difference in a small way, but nonetheless to make a difference in our own lives and the lives of others. May God give us the will and the courage to do that. Amen.